Okay, now I will say this again. The reason I want to put this on tape is because so many has asked me about it, and I find myself saying it over and over, you know, and I try to tell it in bits and parts, and it don't work out. Now, to begin with, I had an experience last night like I've never had in my life. I have had, you know, in the past, I've had experiences, and I've had visions. And I even had a vision one time where I went into a room and I died. I saw myself in the vision, saw my spirit leave the body. I went over to a place like paradise. And I looked around over there and saw the beautiful place, and I saw God as a great pillar of cloud. Looked like it from heaven to earth. And then my spirit returned back into my body. I went back to the very same place where my body was. And when I went back, I looked and I saw people all around my body, brethren. And my brethren was really praying around my body, praying for my life to be restored. And I went back into the body, you know, and I was alive again. But last night I had a vision. But before that, this unusual experience that called it a vision, whatever, you know, there was an actuality that took place. Numbers of times I've been faced with death, real, genuine death. And at times when I was just fixing to pass over, something would get a hold of me and God would give me the boldness to just scream out, you know, right in the face of death, just me to hit on and say, "I challenge you. I challenge you. You say you can kill me, kill me. I challenge you to kill me. I challenge you to take my life." And all of a sudden, you know, that's something you just can't do when you're dying unless God gets a hold of you. But I've done it, and every time I've always won out, numbers of times. Well, in this particular instance, as some of you brethren that are sitting here remember, I'd gone down to Brother Taylor's to make some telephone calls to get some things straightened out, long distance call, concerning the boat, radio programs and whatever. Being extremely warm and hot in there, no air, I sweat and I sweat and I sweat till I lost so much water until it was just, you know, it was just almost unreal. Well, when I finally come out of there, I came to the sacred desk there at the church because it was having service. And some of you remember the water I drank. Drank an awful lot of water. Yeah, I drank a lot of water. And then, yeah, I believe he was pouring it for me, right? But anyway, I drank a lot of water. Well, then you remember that I'd done an unusual thing. I led the children in their little courses, which I'd never done. Never done. And then I turned it over to Brother Fontaine, which was really symbolic. Then, when I went on home, I determined my heart was going to pray, because for a number of days I've been praying, trying to talk to God, night after night. Of course, I do that all the time, you know, I try to talk to the Lord, but in an extra way, because of the crisis. I didn't want none of my spiritual following children, whatever, get hurt, you know. So I was praying for their protection, and praying that God would protect our work, and restore it, and help it, and, you know, help us to go on with our world activity for Christ. Well, I was praying, and I'd prayed on over through the night, and the last thing that I remembered was about somewhere about 4 o'clock in the morning, I believe it was. But anyway, I don't know what had happened, don't know just when, but through the night I had been so dry that I was constantly going trying to get water, fluids, and my very mouth and tongue looked like it just cleaved together, in spite of all I could do. This whole thing would lock up. Well, I prayed, and I'd get me some water and get me some fluids, and I'd go back. Wouldn't be but a few minutes, it'd be just like that again. So I got so aggravated, I just decided I wasn't going to try to get no fluids, no water, no nothing, because it just went continually. And it began to tighten up more and more and more, and I kept wrestling with it and wouldn't go get fluid. And then after a while, something happened. And that's when I went off into this experience. I found myself
at a place where it looked like there was a cot, looked like it was out in the open somewhere, maybe at the end of something. I couldn't tell what it was, a building or open place or whatever, which later appeared to be a cemetery. But I was at the end of it. It was a cot here, a double cot. I was laying on one side of it, and I looked, and on the other side, I saw the boy, Jimmy Watt, brother Jimmy Watt, you know Jimmy. Jimmy came around to the other side and was supposed to lay down on his cot. And he was just as white as a ghost. You know, the trouble he'd been having anyway was his blood count, the red cells. Well, he looked just like he'd been in bombs, you know, he was so white in his face. And he'd come and go to lay down on this cot, and then he'd get frantic and he'd run away from it. Which, from all indications, it was death, you know. I was already laying there, and Jimmy was supposed to lay there, and that he was supposed to die. But Jimmy said, come with me, and I got up off the cot, and I followed him. When I followed him, we went out and around, kind of, and I looked off to my right, down at an elevation a little bit, and it was a graveyard. All of a sudden, Jimmy was gone, and I saw the Watts, his mother and sisters, walking like the graveyard is to my right, and I turned to face it. Then they would have been walking away from my right onto the graveyard, but they were kind of in front of me about at the time. I looked at it, and as I started down to the graveyard, it was as the light come over me, or come from me. Light seemed to be coming from me, some sort of a light. And as I went down to the graveyard, I began to scream out, come out of the graves, come out of the graves. It's the resurrection, come out of the graves. And all of a sudden, sure enough, people did begin to come out of the grave. And I looked, and it seemed like a number of young fellows was coming out of the grave. Well, as I went on through the graveyard, I suppose that the what must have to do with light, you know. Like we say, so many watts for light. I went on through, and you know, Jimmy has been given up for dead, you know, a number of times or whatever to that extent, which no doubt indicated the death part. And Jimmy right now is in the hospital in critical shape. But I went on through and I found myself in an area, a secluded area, which appeared to be maybe like I was closed in a little chamber, or at least in that secluded area. And it was as though I had like a T-square in my hand or something, symbol of cross, you know, about 3 or 4 feet. And I felt an evil coming against me. And I turned. It seemed like at this point I was looking back in the direction of the graveyard, and then I went all the way through it. And something to my left, it was like an oppression or an evil, and I turned to face it. And when I did, there was a boldness that came over me which made me fearless, and a confidence that was just unreal. And I started meeting this situation head on, saying, I challenge you, I challenge you. Do what you can. I challenge you to come and do what you can. Well, the evil kept pressing in, and I kept pressing in toward it with whatever I had in my hand to battle it with. It seemed like it was a weapon to battle with. Well, as I went on, it seems that I went in the direction of this thing, and then it was kind of a curve, like around like this, and then like a door that I had to go through. Well, at this point, it appeared that as I was going through this doorway, that my strength began to leave me. And I felt my strength leaving me. And whereas the Bible said that at death, no man had power over the spirit to retain it. So I couldn't retain the spirit that was leaving me. And I knew it was my strength. And it come down right to that very border of life and death. And it did, you know, instead of letting up, I felt it going beyond that. And I knew then that I was losing hold on my body, that it had gone beyond my power of control and strength. And so just as quick as it hit that place, I knew it crossed over, and then the life continued to leave. I done crossed over. I done got beyond the place where I could do anything. So then I realized that I was dying and that it was death that I was battling with. So I had gone through the door and kind of turned around to my left again and started out this way, down a little bit and then off at an angle to my left. There I stood, and all of a sudden a mystic cycle began to appear and come into my hand like a vapor forming. And I looked, and it was the old Father Time sickle, you know, but it was the sickle of death. And death had apparently seized me, overcome me, moved into me, and there my hand had become its hand, and the sickle was in my hand. So I knew I was dead. And the next thing I thought was the judgment. I'm fixing to go to the judgment. And, of course, the first thing, you know, a terror strikes the heart. And the first thing is grace will take care of it. Grace will take care of it. You know, and this ought to be a real lesson to them that keeps hollering, grace, grace will take care of it. I said, grace will take care of it. Grace will take care of it. And then I heard a voice that was to my left. It was Jesus. It was still dark. I couldn't see. But I know it was the voice of Jesus. I heard Jesus say, I'm sorry, son. He said it wouldn't be like that. He said, you must be judged according to your works. And, you know, the first thing you feel, Lord, all of my mistakes. So I turned around. When I turned around, I started back the other way. As I started to walk, I was thinking, you know, I thought, now I was in my room. Death seized me, I died. And in the morning, my wife and children are going to find me there, and they're going to be all tore up because I'm dead. I can't do nothing. I can't communicate with them. And they're going to be tore all to pieces when they find my body laying there. And I thought now, but somehow the Lord will help them. Somehow they'll get over it, you know. It'll be hard. And somehow the Lord will make provision. Well, that's a hard thing to accept, but I mean, it ain't a matter of accepting. There wasn't nothing you could do. It was over. I said, well, it's over, you know. It's been over. Well, the strange thing about it, just prior to this death seizure, I was praying to God. I was saying, Lord, let me know thee and the fellowship of thy suffering, being made conformable unto thy death, that I might know then the power of thy resurrection. But I didn't say anything about the power of the resurrection. I just said to the dead. And I was thinking about the cross, because I had had a vision where they crucified me, you know. And I was thinking about the nails in my hands and feet and the you know, all that would happen to me. And I thought, well, Lord, you know, I wish it was me instead of Jesus. And I was thinking, Lord, if it be nails or wooden spikes in my hand or whatever, I'm not brave. I know that I couldn't do it. And I know my flesh is crying out against my prayer. But Lord, nevertheless, you know my heart. I want it that way anyway. Irregardless, till my thoughts are feeling beyond all reasoning, I want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering and want to be made conformable to your death. Irregardless of the fears and frustration and anxiety that strikes me and my flesh draw back whatever, I still want it this way. And I still accept Calvary to the fullest extent. Well, somehow or another, whatever it was, I went beyond the body to the extent that that was an ultimate, that God somehow accepted that as a complete thing so far as death, that that finished the body. And so I went into this strange experience. And then to get back to where I was in this experience, I had him walking back up near this thing, unawares, come near that door. It was in the dark, but I apparently was near the door. I never did see it. But when I think back, I know it was near the door. And I was talking about my wife and being tore up and all my children. And all of a sudden, I began to think. And I thought, no. No, I'm not going to let death hold me. I'm not going to stay with the dead. I'm not going to remain here. I'm going to resurrect myself. And I thought, well, you can't do that. You don't have no strength. You don't have no power. You don't have no ability. You don't have no nothing to do that. But then all of a sudden, I thought, I have the name Jesus. And I thought on the name Jesus. And I thought more on the name Jesus. And though I didn't have no strength, didn't have no way to get back, no way to do nothing, all of a sudden, as I thought on the name Jesus, it seemed like from somewhere that thing began to come back from the other side. And I began to feel just a little tad of strength. Then I thought, but I had, this is a little strength, but I had a little strength when it left me before all of it left me. I had a little and I was still dead. I'd done crossed over and still died, you know, and lost all of that strength. So this little bit of strength can help me get back over. But I just, with all of my efforts, I put in to the name Jesus like that. And all of a sudden, I felt enough strength, I felt something begin to happen. And I felt myself going back across that boundary. And I knew that I was resurrected back to life. And then with that, suddenly I found myself back into the body in the room. Well, there it was, you know, the fellowship of his suffering. I had accepted it to the point of death to know him in the power of his resurrection. There it was. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down. I have power of my Father. You know this commandment I have of him. I lay it down and take it up. Well, never since the foundation of the world has any man resurrected himself except Jesus. Even the prophets didn't do that. Which makes me to know something, especially at this period of the Revelation. Paul is the only man that you can find that would fit this description. Paul prayed the fellowship of his suffering, conformity of death, the power of resurrection. And sure enough, he was caught up into the heavens. And with that, apparently he was stoned to death and left for dead. And his spirit apparently left the body somewhere along his lifetime, returned back to it to a resurrection. And him being the one of the revelation, it makes me to know that the revelation of Jesus Christ, as we have taught, is the power of the resurrection. That in this, the Christ in the body. Whereas in our own little immediate circle or cycle here, Rick George Jr. coming right now to our aid and becoming one of the brethren, denoting the man-child that was caught up to the throne that hit that home run around the world. See, it has not been, I have not been dead in my spiritual endeavors. I have been going on with the Lord to the best of my ability. But it has been my body that has been dead, my membership. I can't get the function of my brotherhood to coordinate. And the devil has tried to press it out, the life out of it with this boycotting thing, with the ordinances and different things they have, the city and everything, the neighbors and whatever. So, Rick coming up, as we say, to the throne right now, and that we have the seven candlesticks up here and whatever. Father, Son. It indicates the head returning to the body. You know, Jesus, the Jews leaving Jesus, crucifying their head, the membership died. The Lord returning to them after the church ages, and where did you get the nails? Here a nation born in one day, we said that meeting over at Hall had to do with it. Here, Rick comes in here to show the membership, the resurrection of the membership, back to their official duties and really putting this thing around the world. All of that piled up literature up here in the mail room, him going to get it all out, at one time will be that thing around the world, because there's mail around the world. Hitting that home run around the world, coming right back here. The third pull of our ministry, and the third part of it that has to do with the Joshua part of it, Ricky and the youth coming in. Whereas at this point, Philip is up there with Brother Floyd, Susie's out there with Betty, Rick with me, and every one of them, if you'll look around, there's a young fella that's coming to view. Calling those out of the grave, the old have to die to lead the youth to resurrection. Calling that youthful move forward. Those children up there, that Friday night, just when I had the vision, that very night, it was there that I took the children to go over the Jordan, where I'd seen the vision, where some of my elders had got weary, and I renewed my youth, took my youth and went on over the Jordan. On the same night, Mitch's little one coming, being born, he named it Eternal Joy. Well, that's what they said. Okay, now, from that point, looking at this, that right here being the middle of the week and it's tight, coming back from Hall, and the nation born in one day, the city ordinances and all of them working with us, the boat down yonder, taking the boat the way we did down there, catching it, just before it sees corruption, the wormholes, the redemption, the comrade name that had to do with the bitten, we smashed that part against the cement wall, took it upstream to Tarpon, took it up there, and dry docked it, Noah's Ark, the New World, going away with the worms, redemption of the body, and right now it's registered in Washington as the Snow White Dove, going from the dove to the airplane, or the spirit. Here, all of this coming together, whereas while I was up there in Hall, the 3 days it had to do with that death and whatever, about 3 o'clock in the morning I'd been praying, hello Brother Darren, about 3 o'clock in the morning I'd been praying, there the water got on the canvas, we got it off. Then went back and had the vision of Prince Charles. I saw these soldiers with their golden uniform. Over here, the other men standing by themselves with the black and white uniform with the little bills on the caps. I was supposed to be there at that meeting over there with them over here that was standing to the side that looked like it was to be a wedding. But I didn't have a uniform, so I said, I got to go to the restroom. I went to the restroom. When I went to the restroom, it was a restroom like, you know, you take rest. And then somebody come up behind me. I heard a couple of voices that come up behind me. They had me a uniform. I'd not been able to go to the gathering because I didn't have a uniform and I was running late. It looked like it was going to be too late. They come put down this light red uniform on me that was a silkish looking uniform, which probably had to do with the blood covering of Christ. All of a sudden, they were going to get it on me in time to go to the meeting. But they began to tuck it in under my arm like a pillow. So when I come out of the vision, I thought, a place of rest, tucking a pillow under me. You know, Prince Charles had having to do with the wedding, that means my death. So I didn't tell my wife, I didn't tell nobody. So I thought the hall meeting, that's what it is. So I thought, well, after this meeting, that's what it is. I won't tell nobody. I'll just wait and see what the Lord's going to do about it. So when I come back, all these things set in, like we said. That very night, I went there, and I went through this experience, and I died. Then I resurrected myself for the name of Jesus through faith. When I come out of this, I immediately went into a vision. When I went into the vision, I saw a misty hand coming at me like that. I know it to be Jesus' hand. Then I looked beyond that, and there stood a man that I perceived was an angel or Jesus standing in front of him. And I began to cry out when I saw him. When I did, I began to come out of the vision. As I come out of the vision into my room, the man was still standing there. But as I come out into the room, suddenly he went away. Well, those strange experiences happened. Well, now see, this thing dates all the way back to the time that Brother Branham came to me by phone at Winchester. He was in the wilderness, praying over the handkerchief. You remember all these things, it's on tape. The handkerchief went to Charles. Charles died, my brother. Brother Branham said, the next time I'll come by your place. If I'd have known for the pipe that you was there, I would have come this time. Right now, my brother died, was at the Methodist Hospital. The handkerchief had made the statement, you know, Brother Branham, if I had anything, I'd love to have a double portion of what you got. When I called him later, the second time, and he talked to me after Charles's death. Now, I had enough confidence in Brother Branham. I said, if you come up here, Brother Branham, you can raise him from the dead. But Brother Branham backed off. He wouldn't do it. All right, now, in this, Brother Taylor came into the picture. Moses, the law of death. Death swept over my ministry. It hit it everywhere. It continued. At the time Frank come in, I looked and saw Ricky dead and rotten, laying along the road. Charles's death. Corruption. It went all the way around until just a while back when I said that now the time for that thing to break off. Brother Taylor over yonder, remained over yonder at home, still over there right now. While we're discussing this, Prince Charles, my brother's resurrection, the wedding, Ricky coming back to life out of the corruption. The resurrectional thing of the following of Brother Branham, where did you get the nails? The Jews come into battle right now. all this problem about the air that we mentioned, the war in heaven, these kind of things. Whereas when they drive the Jews out of the homeland, see, the thing that it has to do with is 3.5 years, which goes back to Jesus' resurrection, death, burial, resurrection. The man-child caught up, the woman going into the wilderness, then the head returning back to sit on the throne of David, bringing the woman back out, putting her back in the city. Well, that is the membership of Israel back in the city, the membership of the head to the resurrection. Right now we're going through that here in the typical thing of little Bethlehem. And the woman to some extent already has been out. And the rift coming back, it's a resurrection to that extent. But at the end of the millennium, you know how that Gog and Magog comes up, gathers the people together against the city of Jerusalem, fire comes down from heaven, devours it. America has to do with the end of the millennium. Brother James Tynes coming in a while ago with these laws and rules and regulations at the fast in Washington to the benefit of the church people, the promised sun and fire coming down out of heaven to devour. Because I just told them that we would appeal to Washington because of what we were going to do. James comes in the very day that we come from the resurrection. Now to me, it means that we are now at the point to where death is conquered, and that the revelation did conquer death, and that you are the membership of his body to lay down your life, to take it up, a commandment of the Father you have, which is the revelation. And with this, there is going to be a people that death will have no power over, that this was a proof of it in what God let come into my life. That it's a proof that you have power over death, that you won't have to go by the way of the grave. And that in that nobody has ever done this but Christ Jesus, then it does mean it is Christ within us, because I did it by the name of the Lord Jesus. And we are his body members in particular. The Bible says so. So if it's not I that live, but Christ that lives within me, the life of the Lord revealed in me, as Paul said, the life I now live is by the Son of God, then that means that we have come to that place of the manifestation of the sons of God, where they will rise in the kingdoms of this world, will become the kingdom of God in this Christ, which, as we say, has to do with the ordinance, city ordinance, police, mayor, and all submitting to us in this last meeting. Going to New Jersey, of course, has to do with this. That's the Canadian. That has to do with the Canada, or the Canadian laws, in that it's called the, New England states. There, see, it shows at this time the birth of the man-child. And I believe it's Donovan that is at the head of the labor union, is it? They're having all kind of problems with him now, and he's desiring to be senator, I believe, of New Jersey. You know, the labor, the birth. Right at this time, Rick going up here to where Mary is, the head banker up here. See, Mary and George met us up there, and we took those jewels into that vault, come out before we went up yonder. The children coming in, a nation in one day. And then George Jr. going up there like that. He went up there the other day, bought that Jeep, and let Joe Queen finance the Jeep for him, and told him, said, if Alvin wants to act up and don't want to do right up there, so just bring it to me. Mm-hmm. And coming out of the ark, you know. And even though Alvin in every way has stopped it everywhere else, yet, though Joe Queen admits that Alvin is over him, and Mary's over him, yet he can work it out if something comes up. And should anything happen to Alvin, no doubt Joe Queen would go right into his place. And if what we did put Alvin in his place, and Alvin rejects his privileges, then no doubt something will happen, and Joe Queen will be right there in his place. He's probably next on the list, and he'll get the crown and the blessing. That will bring it back, as we said to Mary. We said it would be brought back to Mary, and she would favor it. And Joe Queen and Mary, things like that. And so I'm saying that to say this, that my experience last night, from all I understand, last night, everything, I died and was resurrected from the dead. And through the name Jesus, I did it by myself, just by God's Spirit and through Christ. I resurrected myself from the dead. There was no doubt in my mind or heart or anything or whatever. Brother, I died and passed over. I've been down to death's door numbers of times, and I've been right there passing over, and it's a horrible feeling. But there's still a difference in going down and passing on over, going in. So it wasn't just a vision. As I know, I knew that my body was back in that room. I knew my wife was going to find it. I knew that I had passed over. I knew that death had seized me. I knew that I had died. I knew that I had passed over. But at the same time, here I sit today, I know that I resurrected from the dead, and I know that I'm alive, as Jesus said, forevermore. I know that the Bible said He resurrected from the dead. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I have the keys to death and to hell. And though I was dead, yet I'm alive forevermore. And being born of His bone and flesh of His flesh, having His life and spirit in my heart, then I know that by His grace and His goodness that I have eternal life, that I'm alive from the dead forevermore.